Translation: Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested His eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed His disappearance by removing His form from the sight of those who are unable to see Him, as He is, due to not executing required penance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. In this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. The conditioned souls in the material world are all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways, but they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. The example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts it on the land, it cannot be made happy by any amount of offered pleasure. The spirit soul can be happy only in the association of the Supreme Living Being, the Personality of Godhead, and nowhere else. The Lord, by His unlimited causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahmajyoti sphere of the spiritual world. And in that transcendental world, there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. The Lord Himself comes to display His transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The entire Vedic way of ritualistic performances is to put every conditioned soul on the path of piety. By strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all orders of social life, one can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. Only by such a transcendental vision are one's material hankerings fully satisfied. When the Lord was present, persons who were able to satisfy their material hankerings by seeing Him in true perspective were thus able to go back with Him to His kingdom. But those persons who were unable to see the Lord as He is remained attached to material hankerings and were not able to go back home, back to Godhead. When the Lord passed beyond the vision of all, He did so in His original eternal form, as stated in this verse. The Lord left in His own body. He did not leave His body, as is generally misunderstood by the conditioned souls. This statement defeats the false propaganda of the faithless non-devotees that the Lord passed away like an ordinary conditioned soul. The Lord appeared in order to release the world from the undue burden of the non-believing Asuras, and after doing this, He disappeared from the world's eyes. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. Lord Shri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who are unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. So, in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura is speaking with Uddhava, and they are remembering the Lord. Vidura is questioning Uddhava, what's happened to Krishna? How is Krishna? What's going on? But Vidura kind of knew, he had heard already in his pilgrimage that Krishna had disappeared. But he wanted to know for sure, is this true? Sometimes when we hear some news that we don't want to hear, we need to get confirmation again and again and again, because we somehow don't want to believe that this is true, that this is that the news that we heard is the actual truth. So Vidura, he had heard this in his pilgrimage, that Krishna had now disappeared, but he asked Uddhava, and Uddhav was extremely, in one sense ecstatic, but in one sense also sorry and sad that Krishna had disappeared. How is this possible? Because one is sad that they're in separation, that they'll never see. Uddhav is sad, he'll never see Krishna again. But at the same time, by remembering Krishna, he's with Krishna. So this is the wonderful paradigm of spirituality, that in separation, we are together. Why is it that the gopis are said to be in the most ecstatic relationship with Krishna? Because they're always in separation. And in that separation, they're always in remembrance. And in that remembrance of Krishna, they are together with Krishna. So for us also, by remembering Krishna, we can be with Krishna. That's so when we hear about the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, this remembrance of Krishna really connects us and unites us with the Lord. So Vidura is hearing this explanation by Uddhava and is understanding that, okay, it's the truth. What I've heard is the truth. The sun has set, Uddhav said a few texts ago, in text number 7, the sun has set, Krishna has disappeared from our vision. And just like the sun, when the sun sets, and what that means is the sun has disappeared from our vision, but it doesn't mean the sun does no longer exist. The sun is still visible to others somewhere else in the world. So similarly, when Krishna disappears from this universe, he's appeared in another universe, and his pastimes are eternally taking place in different universes in the material world. So isn't it amazing? Right now, we're sitting here, we're talking about, every day we're hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, every day we're thinking about what, especially during the last month of Kartik, what were Krishna's pastimes like here when he came to this universe, in this world. But right now, somewhere, Krishna is performing his wonderful Leela, somewhere in the material realms, in some universe. And we're talking about him and what he did over here. And in that remembrance, together with what he's actually doing in that in wherever he is in the material universe, again with his Leelas in the spiritual world, we are connecting with Krishna all the time. So Vidura is, again, he is also feeling the ecstasy, yet he's feeling the grief. When he hears that Krishna is no longer here, he's crying, Krishna, Krishna. He's disappeared. And what happens when we hear that someone has left this world? Naturally, all those memories come flooding back. All those wonderful memories we had with that person, they just come flooding back. And we remember all those wonderful times we had, all those good times. And this is the case for everyone that heard that Krishna had left. When Arjun came back to Hastinapur and Yudhishthir could tell something was up. Something was wrong. Why has Arjuna lost his luster, his glow, his effulgence? Where is it gone? And he asks, he knew what had happened. Yudhishthir was aware that this can only be that Krishna has left. But still, Yudhishthir didn't want to believe what actually had happened. So he asked Arjun different questions. Did you not give someone charity when they asked you to give charity? Did you not treat the citizens correctly? What has any inauspiciousness happened to you? So he asked Arjun different questions, hoping that the reason Arjun is morose is something else than the truth. And then Yudhishthir asked, is it because our dear Krishna has left? Has he disappeared? And yes, then Arjun is in his sadness and in his separation, he says, yes, Krishna has now left this world. And again, all those memories of his time with Krishna come flooding back to Arjun. All those wonderful memories. I was with Krishna. We played like friends. I was with Krishna. When I was with Krishna, this is how I managed that battle in Kurukshetra. How could I defeat Bhishma, Drona, Karna? How could I do this without anyone even managing to touch me? The only reason I was able to do this was because Krishna was with me. So all these wonderful memories of Krishna came flooding back to Arjun. So we see here that in this world, and we understand this also, that in this world that we are going to experience loss. Even the great souls were experiencing the loss of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had disappeared from their vision in the past times here. And we understand that Krishna, he can appear and he can disappear when he likes. We can see in this purport that when Krishna left, he didn't leave his body, he left in his body. So when he went back to the spiritual world, he just left in his body. It wasn't the soul left his body and went up like it does for us ordinary jivas. He left in his body, in his spiritual body, because his body was totally spiritual. So he left in his body. So that's the difference between the Lord and ourselves. When we leave, when we die, the soul leaves our body and this body turns into ashes. Krishna, when he left in the body that he was in. And Krishna can do what he likes. He can arrange what he likes. Jara the hunter, Krishna arranged for Jara the hunter who shot the arrow that hit his foot to also go to the spiritual world in his body. The chariot came and Jara went up in that chariot. So Krishna can do as he likes. And when Daruka, Krishna's charioteer, saw that Krishna is now leaving, he was again very morose. Oh my God, Krishna is leaving. And Krishna told him that, okay, go back to Dwarka and let everyone know that what has happened, and let them all know to leave Dwarka. Because now that I have left, Dwarka will now be inundated by the sea. So now everyone should now leave and go with Arjun to Indraprastha. And so Krishna gave his instructions as to what to do. And in his absence from the material world, what the others should do so that they can live their life in Krishna consciousness. Because that's what we want. We want to live our life in consciousness of Krishna. Sometimes we're thinking, if only I was there. If only I could have just been with Krishna, it would have been such a good time. We feel this also about Srila Prabhupada. If only I was here, if only I could have experienced what it would have been like when Srila Prabhupada was traveling the world, and just a glimpse of that ecstasy that the devotees were feeling when Prabhupada would get to the airport, and the devotees are dancing in ecstasy. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. So we have these thoughts, we have these desires. At the same time, we understand that none of this is lost to us, because Krishna consciousness is available to us 24 hours a day. We can always be in Krishna consciousness if we desire to be with Krishna. Ultimately, it depends on what is our intention. What do we want? Why are we doing what we want? You know, why are we doing what we do? Sometimes we can ask ourselves this question: Why do I chant every day? Why do I chant my rounds? And if we really carefully look at why we chant our rounds, and if we have an intention to chant our rounds in connection to wanting a deeper connection to Krishna, then when we chant our rounds with that desire, then naturally our chanting is very beautiful. If we chant our rounds with the desire to get our rounds done, then that chanting may not feel so good, because the intention is just a ritual. If the intention is a ritual, I need to get my rounds done. How many rounds you got left? Got 16 left, Prabhu. You've got a hard day ahead. You know, if someone speaks to you past 9 a.m. and they tell you they've got 16 rounds left, you're feeling for them, aren't you? Like, how are you going to manage that? Like, whoa. Sometimes someone tells you at 9 p.m. got 10 rounds left. Like, whoa. How are you going to manage? You're going to be up till midnight doing those. But if our consciousness and if our intention is that chanting is a ritual, then, and chanting is a chore, then, as Krishna says, he reciprocates according to the way we approach him. Yayatamam prapadyante. So as we approach Krishna, he reciprocates. So if we approach Krishna in the mood of a ritual, then it will feel like a ritual. Krishna consciousness will feel like a chore, and then at some point we will feel uninspired in our spiritual life, and we won't be able to feel this ecstasy that Uddhava is feeling, that Vidura is feeling, that Daruka is feeling, that Arjuna is feeling, that Yudhishthira is feeling, even in the separation. Even in the separation, they're feeling the ecstasy. Why? Because they're deeply absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. That remembrance is deep. That remembrance is real. And even in the loss, even in their loss, they manage to take some time to grieve. They manage to take some time to grieve. Sometimes when we come to Krishna consciousness, we tend to get very transcendental before we come down to earth, and if someone leaves their body, you'll be like, they're not their body. You know, it's okay, it's their karma. You know, someone comes to you with a problem, it's just your karma, Prabhu, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You probably did that to them in their last life, that's why you're suffering, you'll be okay, you know. But actually, If we think about the process, if we think about the great devotees, if we think about the Lord Himself, the Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is full of love. The devotees are full of compassion. The great souls are full of care and love. So when we are approached with the difficulty, or should we say, with someone else's difficulty, we can be quite careful in how we respond. It's not our business. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has this very nice quote. It's not our business to tell someone it's their karma. Rather, we think, what's my dharma? What is my duty? What can I do in this situation to uplift them? Not that. We just think of someone else's difficulty as their karma. When something comes to us, it's okay to take that responsibility and to understand, yes, maybe this is my karma. Maybe we understand that that Krishna is very fair. He's not an unjust Lord. He's fair. And because he's fair, then whatever is coming to me is fair. There are no accidents. So when something comes to me, I may want to philosophize in that sense and say, yes, this is maybe something that I have created for myself in some way. But we don't always need to get so intricate and work it all out. Because we may never get to the bottom of it. Sometimes we can. Sometimes it's quite obvious, isn't it? Like sometimes we can really see that when something has happened to us, that maybe just some time back we did something very similar to someone else. And we can kind of join the dots. We can kind of see it. You know, we were offensive to someone and then sometime later someone's offensive to me. We may have blasted someone and sometime later someone blasts me. And it kind of just goes round like that, and we can see it. And Krishna allows us to see that so that we can grow. So that we can understand that, okay, this is my opportunity to understand that actually this is coming to me because I've done this to someone else, and I can learn from this by behaving in a more appropriate way. So sometimes Krishna does that. And sometimes things happen and we don't understand it. We don't understand where it's come from. When we did something. We only have so much memory from this life. We have no memory from the previous one life or hundred or thousands or millions of lifetimes that we've been here. We don't have that memory. We don't have that understanding. And because we don't have that understanding all the time, rather than getting into the intricacies of why something has happened, we can try and think, okay, what shall I do now? Like, what is my purpose now? This has happened, okay. Do I want to spend time trying to investigate why this has happened to me? Or do I want to really invest in more self-awareness, more curiosity about why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, and then how I can move on and take my next steps in my spiritual growth, in my spiritual journey? Sometimes when we do approach loss, like we said, we can sometimes just think of it as not the body, it's their karma, and we can try and be a bit too transcendental. But if we don't really understand our own self at that time, if we try and avoid, I think ultimately what happens is we can try and avoid our pain. You know, it's a very typical way of trying to practice spiritual life in a way to avoid pain. Is so, for example, generally what happens before we came to the process of Krishna consciousness, or if we were involved in any kind of material engagements, or we see others that are engaged in material life, ultimately the four regulative principles, what are they in terms of illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, no meat eating, what is all this? In one sense, it's avoidant behavior. All these things are, in one sense, avoidant behavior. I can just indulge in meat eating or intoxication or gambling or illicit sex. If I indulge in gambling or, you know, indulge in sex, indulge in meat eating, indulge in intoxication, I will just numb the pain I'm feeling. I will forget about the pain I'm feeling, and I can just bypass the pain, right? I can just bypass the pain just by doing something else. And similarly, what can happen is when we come to spiritual life is that God can become the new drug. You know, we can try and intensify ourselves in such a way that we just try and avoid our pain. And yes, it is absolutely important, and I'm not trying to take away any importance in the process of seva. Yes, we should always be engaged in service naturally, because if we're not engaged in service, we'll be engaged in an idle mind. And as Prabhupada says, it's a devil's workshop. We'll drag ourselves down. But at the same time, we shouldn't use service as a means to avoid our pain, avoid our inner feelings. Because what then happens is we get so intense about our service that we then can become quite fanatical on others who are not doing the service at the same level we are. And we might be doing the service in such a way because we're trying to intensify service, maybe not because we have love for Krishna, but maybe because we're trying to avoid what I need to really face. We might be trying to avoid the feelings that are inside. We might be trying to avoid the loss we may be experiencing. We may be trying to avoid any kind of self-examination, avoid some sort of inner curiosity about why I'm feeling a little sad. Okay, can I sit with my sadness? Oh, I'm feeling nervous. Can I sit with my nerves and let them be released? Or am I just going to try and avoid them by becoming intense? If we become intense on others, what happens is we generally put them off their Krishna consciousness. We put them off their spiritual life. We notice actually, when a devotee is very advanced and they're practicing their Krishna consciousness and they're doing 24-hour service, if they are very, very advanced, they are not expecting the same level from others. The devotees are very acknowledging of how much we can do. And they try and, the advanced devotees, all the association we may have had from senior devotees who are very advanced, they're trying to just help us reach our potential, get to the best of our potential. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornithai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So being advanced, we can see when someone is advanced by seeing, are they accepting? Are they accepting? Are they accepting? Because Krishna accepts all of us. He accepts all of us. There's nothing that we can do that can cause Krishna to not accept us. There's nothing we can do. Even if we try, Krishna will still accept us. Krishna will still love us. We can't do anything to take away Krishna's love for us. That's how loving He is. There's nothing we can do that can take Krishna's love away from us. So He loves us and He fully accepts us just the way we are. And because He fully accepts us just the way we are, we don't need to be someone else. We don't need to be someone else. Here we can see this in the purport. The example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts it on the land, it cannot be made happy by any amount of offered pleasure. So similarly, if we are trying to be someone else, or if we're trying to long-term do some service that's not really within our nature, but we're trying to do this service because we're trying to get some sort of recognition, some sort of distinction, some sort of adoration from others, then naturally we're not going to be happy. We're not going to, that the pleasure from it will never be enough. It will just be like the fish on the land, because we're not really in line with who we are, in line with ourselves. So someone who is practicing Krishna consciousness at an advanced stage, we can tell who they are, because they are accepting us and they're helping us reach our potential and engaging us in service that is in line with who we are. You know, really, really, really looking at what will make this person tick? What will make this person become more inspired in their spiritual life? What will really help this person take the next step? Otherwise, what happens, we can just sometimes see, oh, this person's doing so much service. They must be so spiritually advanced. But then maybe that person is not accepting of us. So if that person doesn't accept who we are, accept the way we perform our service, perform our capacity, then what can naturally happen is that causes a rift in the relationship. So for us, we may have also experienced this, that someone hasn't accepted what we can and can't do, and we feel a little disappointed, we feel a little upset. But what we can learn from this is, how are we going to give others their shelter in their spiritual life? And the best way to do this is give them inspiration and allow them to be who they are. Allow them to be who they are in their spiritual life, rather than trying to make them someone that can get our project done for us. It's more about let them be the person they can become in their spiritual life, in their connection with Guru and Krishna. In this way, we can be more authentic. This way, we can really be in line. Like we can see here, Krishna, He left His body in His body and went to the spiritual world. So in one sense, his spiritual identity, His spiritual body, He's fully spiritualized. Satchitananda is fully spiritualized. There was no material covering on Him. And then He went to the spiritual world. For us, like we know, we leave our body. But the one thing is, while we're in the body, we can't deny we have one, right? We have the body. We can't deny we have a mind. We have the mind. The mind is there. So for us to live an authentic life, we can live aligned body, mind, and soul. We can try and align them in such a way that we are not living inauthentically or unauthentic. I don't know what the word is. Is it inauthentic? Live in a way that is... Oh, actually, the way we can think about it is this. We can ask ourselves this question. Am I living a life that is authentic to who I am? Or am I living a life trying to run after different attachments? And sometimes what happens is our attachments take us away from our authentic self, from who we really are. So for example, if one is attached to being recognized by others, they may start doing a service, that really isn't their type of service. You know, it just might not be their type of service. But because they're attached to being recognized, they'll go and do that service because that way they'll get recognized. And then what will happen is then they live a life more because of chasing attachments or, if you like, bound by attachments rather than being authentic to themselves, being authentic to who they really are. But if we are authentic to who we really are, then what will happen is over time, and as we practice the process of chanting and hearing about Krishna, then serving the Vaishnavas, then what will naturally happen is we will become fully happy, satisfied in the life we are living in our Krishna consciousness without needing all these external things. We can become happy within ourselves. That's what authenticity really means, by becoming satisfied and happy within ourselves. We don't need to go for these external things. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, one of the American ladies, American hippies, she said to Prabhupada, "You know, Prabhupada, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and you know, and the more I'm chanting, I'm getting this buzz, and I'm seeing this buzzing, and now this buzzing, there's a red light. There's a red light." And Prabhupada said to her, "Don't worry, keep on chanting, and it will go away." Because ultimately, sometimes what we're trying to do is we're trying to find something external, some sort of external buzz, some sort of external thing that means that, you know, I'm feeling Krishna. But actually that feeling of Krishna doesn't have to be something external. It could be something very internal and subtle. It doesn't have to be something gross and external. It can be something very, very subtle and something inside, something internal within the heart that gives us the understanding that we're doing the right thing, we're progressing on the right path, and we're making progress in our bhakti. There was another story when in Vrindavan there was one person. He was rolling around on the floor in ecstasy of Krishna. "Oh, Krishna, Krishna," so-called ecstasy. And Prabhupada heard about this, and then he told Harikesh, he was Swami at the time. He told Harikesh Swami at the time, "Go and hit him with the cane." So Harikesh Swami went down and he hit him with the cane, and this person just got up and started getting really angry and started shouting at Harikesh Swami. So Prabhupada then commented that, see, how could he then be angry? If he was really in ecstasy of Krishna, how would he even felt the cane? How would he even felt you hitting him with the cane? So we might be looking, and this is what Prabhupada used to call sahajya. So we might be looking for this external buzz of Krishna consciousness because God has become the new drug. But actually, that's not what we're after. We're after a deeper internal connection. And when we get this deeper internal connection, then what will happen? What will happen is that all these other kind of desires, they slowly start to fade away. They slowly, slowly start to fade away. Lord Chaitanya, when he's explaining to Rupa Goswami about the Bhakti Lata beads, the devotional creeper, and he tells Rupa Goswami, he's explaining to Rupa Goswami that we can water this creeper of devotion by hearing and chanting. We can water this creeper of bhakti by hearing and chanting. This is the creeper. And it grows, and it goes all the way to the spiritual world. It penetrates through the material universe and goes all the way to the spiritual world. And we just water it with hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. But he also gives Rupa Goswami the warning that actually what will also happen is as we are practicing, weeds will start to grow. The weeds will start to grow. And when the weeds start to grow, we have to be careful, like a good gardener, to pluck out the weeds. To pluck out the weeds. The weeds of our attachments. The weeds of wanting something from our practice. Something material from our practice. Some sort of gains. Some sort of recognition. Some sort of fame. Name. We want all these things. And these weeds pop up as we're practicing. But if these weeds pop up and we don't understand that the weeds are there and we continue to hear and chant, then what happens? We water the weeds. And when we water the weeds start to grow. And then what happens is we are practicing our Krishna consciousness not for connection to Krishna. We end up practicing, we practice devotional service, but not to grow our bhakti lata bij, not to grow the devotional creeper. What ends up happening is we grow the weeds of pride, envy. We grow the weeds that are unwanted in the heart, these anartha. So anartha nivritti is removing all these unwanted things in the heart. And how can we remove them? Well, you can't pluck out a weed unless you know the weed is there. Unless you know the weed is there, you can't pluck it out. So how do we pluck it out? When we are feeling disturbed, when we are feeling hurt, when we are feeling loss, when we are feeling some sort of inner pain, rather than practicing avoidant behavior, rather than just diving into some intense something, whether it's service or whether it's some intense anything. Take some time to become curious. Take some time to think, why is it I'm feeling what I'm feeling? And maybe try and connect it to your earliest memory of feeling something similar. And if we can connect how we're feeling now, and if we can try and connect that feeling that we are having right now of being disturbed, being upset with someone, hurt by something someone's done. Try and connect that feeling to our earliest memory of having that similar feeling. And when we can connect that feeling to when we first had it or our earliest memory of it, what will happen is we're able to see that this is not them. This is something within me. I am going through something. I am experiencing something that is maybe to do with my own trauma, my own past, my own history, my own conditioning. And we can see this is real because you may talk to another devotee about what this some devotee said to you, and they might be like, what's the big deal? You know, the other devotee may have been present when someone else told us both something, and the other devotee who was with us didn't feel it, didn't see it in the same way we saw it, because they may not have that same conditioning. So what we are experiencing, if we can see where it's coming from, then what happens is we understand the root of the weed, right? We understand the root of the weed. And when we understand the root of the weed, we can pluck out the weed from the root. We're not just chopping it off at the top so it can grow again. We just pluck it out from the root. Where has it come from? Where has it come from? And when we understand where it comes from, how do we pluck it out? Just by understanding it's there. And by understanding it's there, knowing it's within us, we're able to release it. Because then we understand. Okay, I'm seeing things in such a way. The way I'm seeing things is a result of my own experience. And because I'm seeing things as a result of my own experience, it's my own anartha. It's my own unwanted desire. It's my own unwanted, or my own experienced trauma that I may have gone through. And that way, I can remove the weed. And then when I'm hearing and I'm chanting, I'm not growing the weeds. I'm not growing the weeds of wanting recognition. I'm not growing the weeds of envy and trying to bring others down. I'm growing the weed. I'm growing the bhakti lata bij. If I can get rid of these weeds, this is the wonderful example that Lord Chaitanya gave when he was instructing Rupa Goswami. So in this way, if we can live an authentic life, if we can be grateful for what the devotees have done for us. Even if they aren't in our lives anymore so much, sometimes we have different devotees who give us different experiences of Krishna consciousness. But all the devotees that have helped us, even if we're not in touch with them so much now, we can always have that gratitude in our hearts for what they have done to help us grow this bhakti lata bij. And here Vidura is in so much ecstasy and he's speaking with Uddhava, and as we'll see as the third canto progresses, Vidura then goes and speaks for a long, long, long time with Maitreya Rishi. He appreciates the time he has with Uddhava, and then he goes and hears from Maitreya Rishi. So in this way we can conclude here. In this way we can really understand what our weeds are. We can therefore experience Krishna in a wholehearted, holistic, authentic way. And that way, when difficulties come, when grief comes, when separation comes, we're able to experience it in such a way that we can deepen our relationships with the Vaishnavas, deepen our relationships with Krishna, and ultimately live an internally content, satisfied, Krishna-conscious life. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, Taruna Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very much. There's something which relating to karma, relating to whatever. I'm kind of in touch with one person. He's kind of spiritual, but not devotee. So he experienced quite a number of times injustice. Like his property was lost, stolen, without being able to retrieve anything. And then he was treated totally unfair by authorities who are supposed to do so. And the same authorities also mistreated other people. So this just revokes revolution in him, not this revolution which he tried to present, different kinds of. So in that sense, he understands laws of karma also, but he cannot just say, it's my karma, and just be quiet. He makes rebel out of you. So I don't know what to advise such a person. For example, Gandhi, it took him 40 years to expel British whatever, although there are things involved in this, not just that. But then you can say, is it karma of Indians to be subjugated by British, or is it karma of Gandhi himself to be subjugated? Then is it karma of those people to subjugate others? And then if he's, then what is the role of Gandhi? And then if he didn't do, would happen liberation. So it's a very kind of difficult thing to answer. So what is your kind of view on it? Because it's very relevant to the nowadays situation or any time. So you cannot just step out, do nothing, but then, is it karma, but you cannot just sit down. Mm.
Yeah, so should we just, when someone is wrong, if someone is behaving in a wrong way, should we just do nothing and just accept that it's our karma, or should we actually do something? Is that, in one sense, what you're saying? What can we do? Yeah, what can we do?
Make sure you rebel, you cannot just accept in a way that goes. So in that sense, how karma plays role. If you don't do anything, will it pass by so many revolutions, even Kurukshetra. Mm. Krishna wanted
to revolution. So Kurukshetra is a good example, because Krishna didn't say to Arjuna, okay, you're very compassionate, you're very kind, you don't want to kill your relatives, just let Duryodhan just take over, let him just let him win and let him rule the kingdom. Krishna said to Arjuna that, atishta, atishta Bharata, get up and fight. You know, just get up and fight. So I think, and what Krishna did before that was he did everything in his power to resolve the matter peacefully. So he went there, he went to the kingdom, he said, you know, just give them one small village each, that would be enough, but then still Duryodhan wouldn't agree. And then the war happened. Similarly, if someone is treating us in an abusive way, in a way that is not really acceptable because of the abuse that's within that, it's not healthy to just allow the abuse to continue. Because one thing is we're not helping ourselves, because we're being tortured in this abuse. But secondly, how are we actually helping that person if we just take it? Because what message we're giving is you can just carry on doing this, and then that person will never ever change, because we are accepting that abuse. So we're not helping others if we're letting them be abusive. So actually, like Arjuna, we have to stand up for ourselves when the situation is getting too much. And when the situation gets too much, we have to stand up for ourselves. Krishna tells Arjuna, enough is enough here. They've done enough. You got to do your thing. You got to do your dharma here. And sometimes what happens is because we're so attached to that person who may be being abusive to us, because we're so attached to them, we can't live authentically. So, and what happens, if we think of it like this, when we are children, we sometimes may not be able to express ourselves. Our parents may not let us shout or cry or scream or just behave in a naughty way. So what happens as a child, what happens, rather than living authentically, i.e. expressing your feeling, expressing what you're going through, because there is no other hope, there's no other hope because the child is totally dependent on the parents. So what the child will do is the child will suppress authenticity so that they can stay in that attachment with the parent, so that they can stay in that relationship. Because if they don't, then they don't feel safe. The child doesn't feel safe. So then what can happen as we grow up and we become adults is we're so used to being dependent on a particular relationship. It may not be the parent anymore. It may be a temple authority. It may be a wife, a husband, a child. But we're so dependent on that relationship that what happens is that even if that person is being abusive, we're so attached that we can't break free or can't stand up for ourselves to live a more authentic life. And so ultimately, it's really important that that when there is, like you're saying, some sort of abuse that is being received, that we don't just sit like doormats and let it happen, because we're not helping ourselves, we're not letting ourselves become authentic and live a life that's aligned with ourselves, and we're certainly not helping the person, because they're just going to continue being abusive and they're not going to help themselves by being abusive.
I mean, this is very specific. And, so, you know, like this person tried to rebel, but then it creates more trouble. Because he's facing the almost legal danger. So, you know, so in that sense, like, what should I, what you would advise, like, in a sense, rebel against? But, of course, that is devotee would be so different picture.
Each case is specific.
Move yourself totally from this lifestyle, and it would be total change. Yeah. You change your life, absolutely. But in that case, you know, yeah, you should rebel. You should, you know, attempt to do something or create some noise. Mm. But in the same time, and anyway, I'm kind of also confused about.
Yeah, but each case is specific. But the overall principle is to live an authentic life and to find a way that we can be more authentic. Prayojan Prabhu, did you want to say something?
Very interesting that you said that in that situation, we all find ourselves.
sorry. It's an interesting situation we find ourselves in. But there's such a thing called Shiksha Guru. Somebody you trust with whatever they say. But also, at the same time, we're alleviating the pain we're feeling. In other words, a problem shared is a problem halved. But you also need that fundamental truth that Krishna was trying to give Arjuna, that ultimately you carry on, and that you have to really understand that he had to surrender. He had to surrender to the circumstance, but at the same time, Krishna says, the fools lament neither for the living and the dead. He had to be insulted by Krishna, really, to wake him up.
Mm.
And, you know, it's, you can't say, oh, there's nothing I can do, I. It's no. You have to reveal yourself in such a way that it's not I. It's somebody who can say, it's you. Mm. Face up to it. You've got to carry on, no matter what. It's like, I'm going through a period of sickness and everything, but there's nothing I can do. I just have to rely on those with a solution or possible solution. And that may not even work. So what can I do? I still keep going. I have to seek an answer, but not necessarily an answer comes.
Mm.
What can I do?
Mm.
No, you must do these. You just carry on. That's what Kanakadamba Maharaj, he says. He said, just carry on. I called it his class, just carry on. If this happens, you just carry on. You carry on with your own development. Keep looking at the goal.
Mm.
You have to come through it, but you will come through it, but you won't know until you're dying.
Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. So I think that we'll just carry on with the program and go for prasadam. Thank you. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.